Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
And moving from that now to the art of the great Olympics interview. When you've just run your heart out in the Olympics in front of a stadium of 50,000 people and a TV and internet global audience of perhaps 3 billion and you haven't made the podium, who do you want to ask you the question? Someone who's never run competitively on the track or someone who knows the highs and lows of being a top level athlete for your country? David Gillick, good morning.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Really well. Look, you know, we're still basking in the glow of all of our amazing athletes and their performances, but you have been one of the breakout stars of the Olympics and getting huge praise for the way that you handled the track athletes, in particular after they left everything on the ground in Stade de France. Did you decide, David, you know that you weren't going to sort of grill the athletes, that you wanted to support them and maybe communicate that support that we were all giving them from home or from the stands in the stadium itself?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question because, you know, you've got to put yourself in the mix zone, which is, it's a very
Explain to us what the mixed zone is. It sounds like a dance track, but what is the mixed zone? It's kind of where the athletes have to run the gauntlet of you, isn't it? Of the media.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's called the mix zone because it's where the athletes mix with the media. And it's also kind of further to that, it would be the live mix zone. So it's basically, it's where all the TV cameras in the initial minutes after an athlete finishes on the track, they walk through the mix zone. And it's the only exit point in a stadium. So win, lose or draw, you have to walk through that mix zone. And it's the world's media. All the big broadcasters are there. And they're waiting for that flash interview post-event. So,
and do they have a choice?
Have to walk through there.
They don't have a choice in running the gauntlet. But do they have a choice in saying yes or no? Like, are you trying to grab hold of them? Because I imagine, whatever about winning, if you've lost or you're disappointed, and before you even get to family or friends, they're running, they're going through that zone.
It's highly emotive. You know, you can imagine you finish your race, you know, generally, like if you win or it goes well, you're buoyant, you're happy, your emotions are all there to be seen. But it's the opposite, and that's the tricky one, where, you know, it hasn't gone well and you're trying to compute in your own mind what has just happened. You know, your whole life, the last 4 years, have been all about this moment, and suddenly it doesn't happen. And basically, the mix zone, you have to walk through. Now, you don't have to talk to people. You can literally just walk straight through. But there in itself is probably another story. So a lot of the athletes will kind of, they might talk to their own broadcaster, i.e. like RTE, the Irish broadcaster, or they may not speak at all. So, you know, the way it was for me was I was positioned number 40 in the mix zone. So there's 39 people ahead of me, all looking for the flash interview. And it all comes down to like the big, massive broadcasters, you know, the NBCs and people like that. They will be right down on the track. They're position number one and two, you know. And everyone's looking for the same thing. So, again, it's kind of like, I suppose, from my perspective, been up in position 40, like the third row up, I can see what's happening. So you're reading body language. Even when the athlete crosses the track or crosses the finish line, I'm looking at the signs. Okay, well, like, you know, what does that mean for them? Because there's context is very important to a performance. You know, you might look and go, oh, they came fourth, or, you know, they might have ran a personal best but not qualified for the final. But for them, that could be success. And it's important to try and kind of...
And the context here, just in the unlikely event that people don't know, you yourself are a former top-level athlete for Ireland. I mean, you won the European Indoor 400-metre Championship twice, and then you also obviously won the National Outdoor Championship. So you've held those indoor and outdoor national records. You've had that experience of what it is like to be, you know, before those crowds. So you have this huge, I suppose, empathy, sympathy, you've got that knowledge of that experience. Was it helpful that you sort of knew that and kind of knew a lot of the people involved in terms of, because it wasn't just our own athletes, you were getting interviews with top athletes from all over the world?
Yeah, like I think, look, from my perspective, I've, as you said, the gauntlet, I've walked that many times, and probably I've walked it on the down occasions more often than not, you know, because sport, you know, you don't get to sample the good days too often. So, you know, they're the easy days when you walk through the mix zone, you're full of energy, full of beans, and you'll talk to everybody. It's the days that don't go well. And I think I can empathize with an awful lot of athletes when it doesn't go well. And then you're trying to compute, you're trying to articulate. And it's the moments immediately after a performance that you've been asked the questions. What happened? Yeah. You know, you've come here in good form and it hasn't worked. Why hasn't it worked? You know, and I think for me, it was very much right. Kind of just, yeah, there's an element of empathy there. But also I know a lot of the Irish athletes. Like, I've followed their careers. I've watched them come up through the ranks.
You know their mummies and daddies.
I know their mummies and daddies and the backstories and all that, you know. But I think it's trying to get that across to the general public. And, you know, there's a journey to get here. And it's not that one moment doesn't define you. But also it's important that, like, people at home understand, like, the context of, you know, what that time or what that performance might mean to that individual.
And the context, you know, as well, David, of their lives. But before we get to that, let's just have a wee reminder. I'll try and not weep once more of you showing your support trackside for two of our disappointed heroic athletes, Charlene Maudsley and Sarah Lavin. Let's have a listen.
Charlene, and the journey that not only you four, but the whole squad has been on is truly amazing.
Yeah, if you had told me only a couple of days ago that we would have come forth, I would have been elated. But when you're out on that last leg, it does kind of feel like it's your fault.
The whole nation, the whole of Ireland was jumping up and down supporting you guys. There's people within athletics that would have never thought that we would have four talented ladies fighting for a medal at the Olympic Games.
You've got a great roar out there, and that must give you a lot of warmth.
Oh, it's so beautiful, and I would have really loved to make them an extra bit proud today. And I'm sorry to everyone at home that I couldn't get everyone shouting.
You don't apologise, because you know what, a 12.69 is nothing to be ashamed of. You have to be proud of what you've achieved on the long road to even get here.
Yeah, I am. Thank you, David.
Oh. every time I hear it, you're just sort of leaning into it, because everything, David, for the Olympics is heightened. You know, you might have done the Worlds, the Diamond League, whatever it is, but everything, it just, you know, I was so lucky 2 weeks ago to see Julian Alfred just beat Sha'Carri Wilson in Stade de France, and just the emotion in the stadium and the pressure of the world, you know, not just the pressure in the stadium, but knowing that, you know, huge global audience. And, you know, I think because they're so fit and athletic and the psychology of what they do is so heightened, but you kind of forget that they're human and they're dealing with the, you know, it could be grief, it could be a breakup, it could be anything. And you really seem to kind of sense and to know the context, including, you know, like one of our athletes, Sarah Lavin, you know, herself overcame a huge tragedy when she lost her partner last year. And you just felt like you were putting a big warm blanket around all of them.
Yeah, look, you know, I feel a bit overwhelmed with all the kind of feedback and love I've been getting, because at the end of the day, it's such a privilege to be in that position. It's such a privilege to be the first person that these athletes come off the track after, you know, giving absolutely everything, and they're talking to me. So for me, it's trying to bring people home on a bit of a journey, a bit of understanding. And the fact that, yes, OK, it's my sport and I know these athletes and I know a bit of their backstory. It's important, I think, just to hone in on that a little bit, you know, and highlight, you know, everything that they've done to get to that moment. And like Charlene there saying, you know, it's so good to see the emotion, because it's so meaningful. And I think people at home can resonate to that, because success is never a straight line. And, you know, the ups and downs and everything that goes on with a performance, and also the Olympic Games, like, it comes around every 4 years. And suddenly, as you said, everything is heightened. Like, there's just so much more interest in it. There's so much more, like, transport, logistics, going into the village, you know, all of that stuff can be overwhelming for an awful lot of athletes, particularly if it's your first time. And again, it's just putting kind of all that together. And I think for me, it's like, you know, I just want people at home to kind of get an insight and come on that journey. And likewise with the international athletes as well. Like, you know, when I was growing up, you know, you'd watch athletics on the TV and the commentators would be talking about the big stars, but you wouldn't maybe get the opportunity to hear from them. And part of me kind of in Paris was like, okay, who can we get? And, you know, like I was probably a pest to a lot of them by this stage, you know, because they're coming up thinking they've done the media. And there's me with, you know, with a microphone. Literally, they had to, it was either talk to me or limbo under, because I wasn't moving, you know. But it was great. And I think that's part of it, is trying to trying to showcase athletics. Like, I love athletics. I think it's a fantastic sport. And, you know, to get the superstars and our own Irish stars to be open and honest. And I think it's great because, you know, there's kids at home and they're looking at these and they're going, oh, my God, look, you're watching them, then you're hearing from them. And it just brings people on that whole Olympic journey.
And it's really interesting just that there's a lot of messages coming in for you, David. One says, that first post-race TV interview of Rashid at Adelaide was very, very nice to watch. David was more parent therapist than interviewer, helping to get her out from under her disappointment. A nice application of empathy and humanity. Another listener, Mary, said, David is such an empathetic interviewer. I thoroughly enjoyed his interviewees. He's gifted. You always got the real feel for how athletes were feeling post-events. Well done, said Mary. But that word, David, you know, empathy and being able to really, I suppose, understand psychologically what the athletes are going through. You brought your own mental health journey to these games as an athlete who, having performed at a high level, then suffered, you experienced depression after retiring from the track. Can you give us an insight into how your own personal journey sort of helped inform the role that you played at the Olympics?
Yeah, look, I suppose I've been open and honest about this in the past. You know, I retired from athletics 11 years ago. And it came after, you know, a couple of seasons of injury. I couldn't compete. And then that was it. You know what I mean? You hit a certain age where you're kind of going, right, I have to move on. And, you know, at the time, I thought I easily could. And, you know, again, there will be a lot of athletes that at the end of an Olympic cycle will be thinking about retirement and, you know, what to do next. And in my circumstances, I suppose I was injured. I couldn't run. And the decision was kind of made for me. And that was the start of probably my biggest challenge, because your whole identity, or my identity, was I was a runner. I was an athlete. I was a 400-meter athlete. That's what I was. And that's the way I perceived other people to think of me. And, you know, your skills and your kind of your strengths and all the rest of it, they were all about running around a track. That's how simplistic my mind was back then. And I think just the reality of waking up one day and thinking, right, what do I do with the rest of my life was pretty daunting. And I struggled with it. You know, I jumped into certain things because I thought, you know, it was all about money. You know, if I have enough money, if I make more money, well, then I'll have status, I'll have an identity, I'll be content, fulfilled. And I wasn't. And I kind of struggled through that for probably
and it's
the
very
first...
common for many, you know, athletes and sports people, you know, whether from rugby to GA to whatever it is, you know, when you're so much of your identity is wrapped up with what you do. And for whatever reason, that is taken away from you. What I was really, really struck, and I know that you spoke a lovely interview with Laura Linnett in the Irish Independent this morning. But one of the things that you said was that, you know, that from your own experience, having struggled with depression, but also undergoing counselling, that it has helped you to understand that a moment doesn't define you. And when you think of the Olympics, a moment does define a lot of those athletes if they're breaking world records, if they're getting through. But those other moments, you know, like, I mean, you know, getting fourth place, you know, which in any other context might be absolutely amazing. But, you know, that maybe the expectation that we as the public now have of our athletes, we've come a long way, you know, where we expect people to medal. We expect them to be on the podium and just that weight of expectation. But I just thought that message, these individual moments don't have to define you, good or bad.
Exactly. Like, that's the nail on the head. And I think, you know, again, some of the interviews, you know, when Rashida was fourth, Aurelia Thing was fourth, you're like, there's a lot of thoughts going through your head, you know, and even the, you know, when an athlete maybe says they apologize, because that's the feeling. You feel like you've let so many people down. You feel like you've let your coach, your family, people who have traveled over to support you. And that's the emotional toil, you know. And again, it's trying to kind of almost jump in and say, no, like, you haven't, you know. And that's the thing, it's like, there's more to you than just a performance. And I think I probably said that a few times to a few athletes, and it wasn't like I was trying to be the counsellor on the side of the track. I think it's just the way things kind of evolved, and, you know, the performances. And I think Rashida was a good example, because, you know, she was straight off the track, and then you have to do an interview, and I could see she was struggling to put the words together. And I think in those moments, I can remember kind of thinking, well, I'll fill the void here and I'll just start talking, you know. And like, the interview is not about me, it's about that individual. But if I can kind of help them along to maybe just get some words out, and also just be supportive. Like, I think they don't want someone on the side of the track to start picking holes in their performance and maybe start talking about the other athletes in the race, because that moment's about them. And that's one thing I definitely tried to do, was like, even with the international athletes, like, you know, Jakob Ingebrigtsen was a good example, who came fourth in the 1500 metres. You know, you're talking about someone who is a superstar of the sport and arguably was going for the gold medal there. But I didn't want to start talking about the three athletes ahead of him. And I think you build that rapport with athletes and they know, okay, this guy, you know, he's respectful and not about other people. It's about me, and the interview should be about them. And I think, you know, even on that occasion, like, it was very, very interesting that, you know, he came back to me then after winning the 5K and gave me a great interview. And I think that was nice from my perspective, that I built a bit of rapport with him, and he was able to come back to me, you know. And I think that's what it's all about. It's trying to, you know, because even in terms of your own mental health, you suddenly think that this moment is all my life is about, you know. And we use that phrase, you know, a career defining moment. And in many cases there were, but for other athletes, they'll bounce back next year and there's world championships and, you know, they'll come back stronger
and they keep going and learn. I mean, sport obviously is a huge kind of allegory for life, managing the ups and downs, but of course they're managing it in, you know, just such in front of that global audience. I just wanted to ask you just finally about the Irish fans, and I don't know whether it was because of the proximity to Paris that so many of us were able to go over. You know, people were getting tickets for events that we'd hope we'd turn up in, you know, so even where there were no Irish, there were a lot of Irish flags and a lot of the, you know, the stadia, and just the support from the fans. Do you think it's a sort of like a Italia 90 game-changing moment in terms of our relationship as the public with the Olympics?
Yeah, 100%. I have never, ever witnessed anything like it. Like, the Stade de France, to be fair, like, every session was full. So the overall crowd was fantastic. But from an Irish perspective, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, where it was Sarah Lavin, the relay team, you know, Rashida, the crowd and the roar and the reception they got was off the charts. Between the Americans, between the Irish and the French, I think that was the loudest. It was just fantastic. And even, you know, so many tricolours, so many Irish people walking around Paris.
Dressed as leprechauns.
Even the wider kind of dresses, you name it. Like, every GAA jersey was on show, you know. It was fantastic. And I think, yeah, you know, like, yes, it's close to Paris. And to be fair, like, the next two Olympics are going to be LA and then Brisbane. So, you know, we may not have another European Olympic Games for a while, but they all rallied and they all got behind it. And I think that is something that's really important, that, you know, it's not mainstream sport here, it's Olympic sports. And I think it's great to see the appetite and the support that's there. And the athletes notice these things. Like, you take the relay team, you know, fourth, like, an amazing performance. They went over to all the Irish fans and it was fantastic. And it wasn't essentially a lap of honour, but they went over and they greeted them, and the support, even after finishing fourth, was absolutely fantastic.
And great.
Everyone that went over was amazing.
And great strength. And also huge coverage today as well, as, you know, the athletes from Northern Ireland and, you know, whoever they were teaming out for. But just a brilliant Olympics for the island of Ireland. But also, David Gilland, brilliant Olympics for you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem.